I'm so damaged beyond repair. Life has shattered my hopes and my dreams. Somebody save me. You ever felt like that? I mean, overwhelmed, broken, hopeless. You know, we're continuing our series, Jelly and Jam, and we're jamming out to some Jelly Roll and talking about what to do when you get in a jam in life. And I've said over and over, by the grace of God, it is possible, despite the damage, the hurt, the pain, despite the brokenness and the hopelessness, with God, it's possible to overcome. Our verse for this series has been, yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He's planted eternity in the human heart, but even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. Friends, God wants to turn your brokenness into something beautiful. And I know somebody needs to hear this today. Jesus can set you free from whatever it is. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're dealing with, Jesus can rescue and make something beautiful out of your life. That's how God works. You know, Scripture says anyone who belongs to Christ is a new person. The past is forgotten, and everything is new. In Christ, by God's grace, we get new life, we get new beginnings, we get new opportunities, we get new hope. Everything is made new through Christ. You know, the Gospels are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And those tell the story of Jesus' ministry and life and death and resurrection and what have you. But Jesus was always pointing people to God throughout the Gospels, calling people to a better life, calling people to overcome sin, calling people to a new life in Him. There are over 37 different miracles that are recorded that were performed by Jesus. You know, he would be like speaking to a large crowd, and sometimes he would take someone aside, and he would heal them, and then he just whispered, "Don't tell anybody." You know, we talked about a couple weeks ago that Jesus would see a need, and he would just step into it. He would walk over and go, "You're healed. Get up, take your mat, and walk." Jesus set people free over and over throughout the Gospels. You know, Luke 17 tells about an occasion when Jesus was on the outskirts of town, and 10 lepers were out there, and from a distance, they can see Jesus. And you need to know leprosy. I mean, it was a horrible disease. Your flesh, your limbs would fall off. There was a horrible stench associated with it, and they were highly contagious, and so they were pushed to the outskirts of town. It really was a death sentence in that day. And the story says that one of the lepers cries out to Jesus and says, "Jesus, have mercy on us, heal us." And Jesus says, "Go show yourself to the priest." And it says as they were running, they look down and their skin and their limbs are being healed. They were free all of a sudden to live a normal life in society. They were freed from the stigma, the isolation. Jesus gave them a new life. Several occasions, Jesus rescues people from the grips of death. You know, Jesus had a good friend, Lazarus, and He calls him back to life. He actually calls him out of the tomb, and Lazarus walks out, and he's set free. Another occasion, Jairus' young daughter, she dies. Jesus goes into the room. He touches her hand and says, "Get up." And she sat up. Can you imagine when she walked out of that room? New day. It was a new life. There was always purpose to the healings that Jesus did. They were to bring glory to God. They were to point people to God. They were to confirmed that Jesus was the Son of God, that he was the promised Messiah, that Jesus was divine. Jesus healed people all kinds of different ways. You know, not too long ago, we talked about the woman that got caught in adultery, and the religious leaders literally drag her into the street, and they throw her down before Jesus. They want judgment. She thought she was going to die. She thought her life was over. I mean, the law said she should be stoned to death. But Jesus does something real unexpected, and he addresses the crowd, and he says, "Yeah, let the one without sin cast the first stone." And it says, one by one, the accusers dropped their rocks, and they walked away. And then Jesus extends grace. It's a great, beautiful story. And he says, your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. It's another kind of miracle, isn't it? A new day for her. She's set free. Jesus saw sin-sick people, people that were being held captive by sin. They were people like Matthew, Zacchaeus. Jesus called them out of their life, you know, set them free to be who God had created them to be, who God called them to be. And friends, Jesus longs to heal you. He longs to set you free. I have watched through my entire ministry, and I watch people that feel like they're less than whole, people that feel like they're failures, people haunted by their past. And I've watched people and they're shackled to sin and shame, people that battle their own demons, and in confusion, their peace gets stolen. Their self-image gets distorted, actually destroyed sometimes. And I will tell you, it breaks my heart to see people in that kind of bondage, chained, shackled, when I know that Jesus Christ could set them free. And here's the thing, we all carry burdens. We all have junk, right? Stuff that makes us sick, stuff that holds us captive, stuff that keeps us from being who God created us to be, called us to be. And what I know as a congregation this size, there are people here today that think I'm a lost cause. People that are hurting, people that are broken. Some of you have had your hopes and dreams shattered. You feel like you're damaged beyond repair. And you need hope, and you need peace, maybe need healing. Friends, people who wish for something, I mean, anyone that could save them and set them free. Today, what I want to do, I want to look at a man that he really thought he was a lost cause. His life had been stolen from him. His mind, it was so confused that he's being held in bondage. He's actually hearing voices in his head. And Scripture says that he was possessed by an evil spirit. And Jesus talked a lot about the devil, demons. He talked a lot about the power of the evil one. And I'll just say this. I'll say, all you got to do is look at our world. I mean, Satan is alive and well. And we are fighting for control of our minds and our souls and our eternity. You know, it is truly a spiritual battle, and it's a war all of us are in on some level. And so I want to see what we can learn from the story. Scripture says this, when Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with chains, for he had often been chained, hand and foot. But he tore the chains apart and broke the iron on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. This guy is isolated. He's totally withdrawn from everyone. He's living in a graveyard. He chose to stay away from people, but here's what I think. People chose to stay away from him, too. Isolation, friends, you should know this. This is part of Satan's strategy. It's to steal, kill, and destroy, ultimately. That it's in the isolation that he can take you out. You know, in isolation, he can lie to you, whisper, and easily destroy your self-esteem, because then as he whispers, you're a lost cause. You're damaged beyond repair. You know, nobody wants to be around you. Stay away from church, because what are people going to think? Don't talk to God. God's ashamed of you. And friends, in isolation, he wants to convince you that no one cares, no one understands. In fact, people don't want you around. I mean, this guy, he is living in a graveyard. He's living in a tomb. You know, his life has been reduced to mere existence. And he's helpless. Can you feel the desperateness in this story? He's alone. He's alone with his pain. He's alone with his struggles. And I see this often with people. You know, they're going through some tough times, and they just drop out of church. And then they start isolating themselves and disconnecting. Just to hear this, you're going through a tough time? You need other Christ followers in your life, especially during those tough times. You know, Satan, he's good at piling on the mental anguish, I call it. You know, you can feel it, and the scripture says, night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. Night and day, he cries out. He's cutting himself. Friends, he hated who he was. You know, he cries out, I'm a lost cause. Don't waste your time on me. I'm so damaged, I'm beyond repair. Life has shattered my hopes and dreams. You know, somebody, anybody, anything, save me. Spent so long living in this hell. I mean, friends, when you isolate, Your situation will become exponentially worse. You figure it out, but usually too late. You know, alone with Satan's lies, you begin to believe nobody cares about you. You know, nobody wants to be around you. You start believing that you really are a lost cause. There is no way out. You ever been there? So broken? The despair overtakes you, you know, grieving the loss of a loved one. And the only thing you can do is cry out. You know, the bitterness of a divorce, and it consumes your thoughts. Every waking hour, you keep thinking about it. You know, abuse that you endured as a child, it dominates your thoughts and your decisions. That job loss, the bankruptcy, consumes you, overtakes you. Maybe it's an out-of-control addiction. The reality is you are constantly thinking about, when am I going to get the next drink, the next fix? You know, scheming how you're going to slide into the strip club and nobody's going to see you. You know, when you feel like you're a lost cause and you can't get through what you need to get through, it's overwhelming, isn't it? It consumes your thoughts all the time. It's just there. I mean, it happens when you live in a graveyard where everything around you is dead. And so I want to ask you today, where are you living these days? Where are you living? Because Satan wants to destroy you. And he will do it by isolating you, by bringing things to mind that cause you great anguish. He will do whatever it takes to get you involved in a process of what I call self-destruction. I mean, why would a person harm themselves? Why would someone cut themselves? You know, why do people stick needles in their arms and snort drugs? You know, why do people drink themselves into a stupor or put a gun to their head? Friends, I will tell you, brokenness, hopelessness, because they're isolated. It's a downward spiral. Withdraw. Don't want anybody to know what's going on. Isolate. And then the mental anguish just overtakes you. Satan's strategy is powerful. How powerful? Well, so powerful that Mark says the chains could no longer hold this guy anymore. He just break him apart. He's out of control. No one could even subdue him. It had this almost supernatural hold on him. And it affected every single part of his life. And I know some of you are in turmoil today. Some of you believe, you truly believe you're a lost cause. The situation is beyond repair. In fact, hopelessness, helplessness, you go, yeah, I get it. And I know some of you are hurting and some of you are struggling. But I also know when you cry out, somebody save me, there's someone whose arms are wide open for you. Someone who longs to embrace you, wipe away your tears. And it's Jesus. Jesus is where you find peace. It's where you find hope. You know, Jesus gets one-on-one with this guy. It's the only contact maybe this guy's had in years that wasn't like trying to chain him back up, you know, restrain him somehow. But Jesus, he's not like everybody else, is he? Jesus actually wanted to set him free. You need to know, Jesus does not think you're weird or crazy or stupid or strange. He doesn't think you're a failure. He doesn't think you're hopeless or too sinful. He doesn't want you to live among the tombs. No, he wants to pull you out of isolation. He wants to get you into his presence. You know, the story goes on, says, when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and what? Fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." It's in the presence of Jesus he finds healing. It's in the presence of Jesus he finds peace and power. It's in the presence of Jesus that all the confusion, all the voices in his head, all the crazy thoughts that he had, they disappear. Friends, when you fall on your knees and you cry out finally, whatever the situation, whatever you're going through, and you say, "Save me," Jesus is waiting. He's waiting to respond. He's waiting to move in your life. It says, the cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overwhelmed by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me, the psalmist says. You know, when you get into the presence, friends, Jesus wants to help you out of the chaos. He wants to help you through the struggle. He wants to help you overcome. Jesus wants to take that situation that you think is unfixable, and he wants to make it all new for you. Anybody need something new in their life? You know, this guy living among the dead, he's confused. He doesn't know how or who he is anymore. He's lost himself. It says Jesus asks him, what's your name? My name's Legion. He replied, for we are many. I think when you casually read this, you just miss it. This is not that guy's name. You know, he has lost his identity. He's become the name of his captor, Legion. Jesus very lovingly says to him, you know, he's like, what's your name? I think Jesus is trying to coax him back. He wants to bring him back to who he really is. He wants to bring you back in your life to who you really are, who God created you to be. You know, Jesus says, your name's not inferior. Your name's not depressed, paranoid. Your name's not hopeless. Your name's not addicted or pervert or thief or lost cause. Those are not your names. But some hear it. They buy into it. Jesus wants to cut through the lies. In fact, Jesus is always trying to point out your worth. You are a child of God. You were bought with a price. You are fearfully, wonderfully made. God created you for a purpose. Do you know that? I was talking to a guy, this is several months ago, and he was just beating himself up. You know, struggling with his self-worth and just doing a number on himself. And I let him talk, and then I said, look at me. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. God has a plan for your life. You know, I went on and just said, you have great value. And friends, there was a point where I could tell it just assaulted him. He goes, I've never thought of myself that way. I said, that's how God sees you. Friends, that's how God sees you. You know, when you realize how much you matter to God, when you realize all that God wants to do in your life, it changes everything. It changes absolutely everything in your life. You know, Zephaniah says, the Lord your God's with you. His power gives you victory. The Lord will take delight in you, and in his love, he will give you what? New life. God hears your cries. Oh, it may not be audible. You may keep them up here. But he hears them. He's with you. He loves you. He delights in you. God wants the very best for you. God wants to give you new life. Somebody needs new life today. You find it in Jesus Christ. Christ cares. Jesus cares about you. You know, Christ follows. Your past is forgiven. It's forgotten. It's erased. You know, Scripture says that God casts them in the depths of the sea. and they're gone. They're never coming back up. You are precious in his sight. You were created by God, called by God to new life, new opportunities before you. All things are made new in Jesus Christ. If you read the rest of the story, the demons knew that they were defeated. And so they beg Jesus to send them all into the pigs that were nearby. And so as they're begging him, please, please, don't destroy us. Send us into the pigs over there, that herd of pigs. Please. Jesus gives them permission. The pigs go crazy. They run off a cliff. They drowned. And I think, why did Jesus agree to let the demons do that? And I'll be honest with you, I don't exactly know. But I've thought about it through the years. I mean, I think perhaps Jesus wanted to show the power of the demons. I think Jesus wanted to convince the guy that his tormentors were gone forever. I think he wanted to show the value of human life over everything else. You know, maybe Jesus was thinking, you know, pigs are pigs. I created the pigs. But in comparison to how much I love people, well, they can drown for all I care. Do not send me emails, all right? Save the pigs, you know. I love animals. I carry bugs out of the house and take them outside, so, okay? Now you know I'm weird, but I've always been good that way. The Bible says we're created in the image of God. We have eternal souls. We are God's most prized possession above anything and everything. The people that saw the miracle that day, they do not get it. They actually run Jesus out of town for it. Think about it. It's kind of hard to comprehend, isn't it? This guy that had been in chains, living in a graveyard, this guy whose mind was out of control, he's living without hope, Jesus restores him and heals him, and the whole community misunderstands, and they just run him out. Think about it. One encounter with Jesus, and everything changed, and Jesus set him free, and the people are like, yeah, Jesus, we got to get rid of him out of here. I think so many times we read scripture and you read the miracles and you kind of think, well, so it was a really bad situation and then everything's perfect, you know, right? It's kind of happily ever after kind of thing. He made the guy new. It was a new day, new hope. He healed him. But honestly, the new had just begun. There's going to be a whole process here. This guy's going to have to work hard to get everything back. You know, he probably didn't have a home to go back to. You know, 10 years he's been living in a graveyard. More than likely, I was thinking, he probably had a hard time getting a job. You know, think about it. He has no resume, no address, no work history for the past 10 years. Like, what have you been up to? Hanging out in the cemetery, you know. He's been alienated. He's been alienated from family and friends. I'm sure it took a long time for people to trust him again. I mean, think about all those relationships that he's going to try and restore. You know, it is a long road ahead. He had to do some hard work. But he has a life to live now. He's been made new. He's got hope again, new hope, new opportunities. But it's a process. Some of you need to realize it's a process. Jesus wants to restore you. Jesus specializes in healing broken situations and broken people. And you may think, oh, I'm a lost cause. You know, there isn't any way through this. This is awful. I can't make it. You may believe you're damaged beyond repair. You may feel like your dreams have been shattered and there's no longer hope and there's no longer a bright day ahead. But I want you to know Jesus sees you. He knows what you're feeling. He knows what you're thinking. And he can change everything for you. Can I encourage you, if that's where you're at today, that in the midst of the pain, the hurt, the hopelessness, the confusion, I understand it's a battle. But can I encourage you to just cry out to Jesus and say, save me. Save me. Two words, save me. Save me from this situation. Save me from the depression. Save me from whatever is ahead. Give me hope. Jesus will hear you, and he wants to set you free. He wants to set you free. Let's bow in a word of prayer together. Our holy God, God, right now, I know there are some that life has just knocked them silly, and they're struggling. Some have lost all hope. And God, I pray that when they say, save me, Lord, that your Holy Spirit just goes to work. I mean, if you've got something today, just quietly in your mind, just say, save me, Lord. Save me from this situation. I'm tired of feeling this way. Jesus will answer you. God, we thank you for the promise of a new day, new hope, new mercies, new grace over and over and over. You promise. So today, Lord, there are some that need your Holy Spirit to just whisper to them and say, it's a new day. Go live your life. Find hope. Find wholeness. It's a new day. God, we thank you for that promise. We give you the glory with how we live our lives. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. God's people said, amen. You know, after worship today, after the closing song, we're having an ordination service. It's a short service. I'd encourage you to stick around. I invite you to stay. I understand if you've got stuff going on, and what I would ask is, you know, that you quietly exit during this song, and we're looking forward to ordaining Kathy Martin today. So anyway, let's stand. We're going to worship, and then we'll